and that God has a plan for each person. And so lay hold of that. You know, so David's brother, Eliab, he wasn't put on the shelf. He just wasn't chosen to be king. And so, you know, there's a place, a time where sometimes we just have to realize we are who we are. And to know your identity and to know that God has a plan for you is very needful and helpful in our Christian life. Here's some lessons for us to learn. Just some things from these verses and passages. Humble yourself to God's purpose for your life. Now, ideally, there wouldn't be the ambition and drive focused on wrong things. And that's the way the flesh is. The flesh drives us to seek our own selfish desires, the things that we think that we want. And God knows that we do not want nor need. And so to humble ourselves to Him, to realize, God, your word and your plan, your purpose. So it was a time when David's brothers had to humble themselves. They had to say, well, if this is God's will, you know, I'm going to support my brother, and I'm going to be what God would have me be in. And so there should have been and should be harmony there. And in the same way, in the same manner with Saul, there should be a humility. If God's plan is for him to be king, then he should be king with all of his strength, and he should be obedient to that call. But if his will is for him to step aside, then he should be willing to step aside. It's really interesting that later on that we see a scene with David and Jonathan. And Jonathan says, I know that God has chosen you to be king. He says, I will be your second, and I will work with you. That's incredible humility from a man. Jonathan, who was in everybody's eyes set up in the line of things as Saul's firstborn to be king, was willing to submit to God's will. You know, he wasn't a man lacking ambition and drive. Jonathan was a man. But he was willing to humble himself to God and to God's purposes for his life. Secondly, skill, ability, resources are secondary to character with God. Okay, we looked at this verse that God looks at the heart. Samuel was looking. He said, man, this guy looks like a king. I mean, he's got the skills. He's got the ability. He's got the resources. He's the firstborn. He's got everything going for him. And Jesse was probably one of the elders there of the city. But we know that Jesse was probably not a real wealthy man, or his sons would have been tending, his servants would have been tending the sheep instead of David. Okay? So, but skill and ability and resources are not discredited. You know, those are things that you need and things that God would look for as well. But it's secondary to character. God is interested in developing the character in your hearts and lives. God is interested in making you ready. That especially, please listen, especially the difficulties and the obstacles that you face are given by God's loving and kind and sovereign hand to teach us, to train us in His ways, to test us, and to bring us through the process of learning how to obey Him, learning how to seek after God, learning how to submit ourselves and humble ourselves under His mighty hand. His hand is always working. It's often unseen. We don't understand His ways, just as Samuel didn't, just as his brothers could not understand, just as Jonathan couldn't understand God's ways. But to submit to it, to yield to it, and to allow God to build character in our lives is essential for us. You know, it's the thing, the determining factor as far as being developed and built and selected by God for different areas of service. The way that you obey Him and the manner in which you are faithful to the things that He calls you to will determine the opportunities, the future opportunities that He gives to you. Be faithful to what God calls you to. If it's taking care of the sheep, if it's a matter of where you're serving other people, if you're scrubbing bathrooms, do it in a way that honors God. The Scripture teaches us to do that, but we forget it. We think, oh, that's too menial for me. But wear it like a badge of honor. And just know that God is going to take someone that's faithful. And you may be cleaning bathrooms today, but the next time around, God will, you know, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. In due time, He will exalt you. Learn to wait for Him. Learn to look to Him. Learn to be faithful. Learn to be patient in your waiting on God. And in these things, you will find that He's always faithful. He'll always bring it about. But He's looking for someone that will be obedient. He's looking for someone whose heart is right toward Him. He's looking for someone that is building the character that will enable them to take the responsibilities that God desires to give to each one of us. So constantly think in terms of those things that God sets before you as an opportunity, not an obstacle, but something that builds character, something that tests us, something that makes us and molds us. That unseen hand, the potter, is building your life. He's molding the clay. He's making you into what He sees fit in His sovereignty. That's the sovereign hand of God in our lives. And those are the things that He was doing with David. Develop a sense for the value of inner character and integrity. Learn to look for it. Learn to look for it in people. Learn to see faithful people. Learn to get a sense for looking at, not at the flashy things. Don't look at Hollywood. You know, don't look at the things that this world looks for. Don't be pressed into the mold. Be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Look at those things which are necessary and essential for building, for the inner character and integrity that God desires for us to have, and cherish them. Learn to value that. We need integrity. We need integrity out in the workforce. We need integrity amongst our politicians. We need integrity in Hollywood. We need character, inner character. And it starts with each one of us, that there's a determination that these things that God desires to build into our lives are the things that we need to seek after. I think these are some of the qualities of David. It's some of the lessons that we must learn. Some of the things that are essential and needful for us. Learn to look for the things that God looks for in an associate or a friend or a mate. Okay? Not so easy. So easy to look at the flashiness or someone that's tall and handsome for the young lady and has certain skills and can speak with a silver tongue. But look for the character. Learn to assess and evaluate where they are spiritually and how they treat other people. They don't treat their mother well, girls are not going to treat you well. You know, it's a given. Learn to look at character in people and to find those things and to evaluate them and make your associations with those that are seeking after these kind of things. Make your friendships with those that will strengthen you in those areas, and choose your mates in regard to those things. Look into their eyes, into their character, into the way that they carry themselves and what things they value. Learn to assess, learn to evaluate, and don't be overly critical about people and your expectations, but learn to look realistically and with humility at other people and evaluate and look for the things that God looks for. He looks at the heart, and he made the point in this scripture clear. That's first. And we'll find in these following verses that David had the skills. He was handsome. He was a man of valor. He was a musician. He was talented. He had a lot of skills, but they were secondary to what God looked at. And he made a point of it. Do not confuse selection to service with election to salvation. Now, I want to just make the point here, because this gets confusing with people. And there's a difference between being saved, being elected by God and chosen for salvation, and what takes place in selection and God's selection to service. And if you get those things confused, then it will be detrimental to you. For one thing, we have some brothers and sisters that try to win God's favor by their behavior. They think in terms of God is going to save me because I'm a man. I become a man after God's own heart. Well, that's reversing things. The point of eternal salvation in Christ and God's election to us is that there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that seeks after God. That all have gone astray. All have sinned and fallen short of the righteousness of God. We come up short in our relationship with God and in our righteousness. And no one can achieve that standard apart from Jesus Christ. He was the only one that could do it. And so if we think in terms of, oh, well, I'm going to become a person after God's own heart so that God will save me, we're all confused. Don't be confused with it. Because God demands that we, in acknowledging, recognizing that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that we cannot save ourselves. For it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit within us. He has given to us life. It's His gracious gift to those that cannot help themselves. And understand that that's who we are. That's exactly who and what we are. That we can never achieve that standard for salvation. So don't try to do that. But understand that as we look at these principles in the life of David, that there's some great things here about developing character and obedience to God that has to do with discipleship, that has to do with God's selection of you and me for service, and has to do with whether we're fruitful or not. And I think, you know, when we look at John 15, it says, abide in me, I'm the vine and you're the branches. If you abide in me, you shall bear much fruit, but without me you can do nothing. But there's this relationship. Again, it's a by grace through faith relationship. But it is knowing the intimacy and the person of God in such a way that there's an overflow of His life through ours, and there's a heart after God. There's an being abiding in Christ, an intimacy that we have. And so in our obedience to service, it comes from a connected relationship with God as well. And it's by grace through faith as well. But it's a matter of obedience, a matter of learning personal obedience in areas of service. And these are essential principles for us. If we're going to be used, if we're going to be faithful in much, we have to begin by being faithful in least. And there's principles there of obedience, principles that we need to lay hold of in order to attain the opportunities, the areas of service, the fruitfulness that God desires for our lives. And so understand that it's by grace. Understand that it's through faith. And understand as well, I'm going to close here. We'll pick up next time. Decided that we'd let the Lord lead about whether to get into the music thing and all that kind of thing. It's got some things to look at next week that'll be greatly encouraging. But I want to encourage you in closing that both in this selection to service and becoming a person after God's own heart, you cannot become a person after God's own heart without personal and intimate relationship with Him. You can only have personal and intimate relationship with God because you come the way that God tells you to come. And that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that God made He who knew no sin to become sin on our behalf, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And that means that we must approach God on the basis of Christ's substitution on our behalf. We can't approach Him any other way. Okay? Obedience to Him, acknowledge, submitting to His power, His majesty, His lordship as God Almighty demands that we listen to what He said. And what He said, what the Lord Jesus said is, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And you can try religion. You can try a lot of different things in your life. But until you come to Him on the basis of what Christ did on the cross of Calvary for your sin, there's no entrance, there's no relationship with Him. But once you're there, there's a relationship that we have with God's Holy Spirit. He quickens us, He enables us. The Bible says in Romans 8:11 that the same Spirit that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead, from the grave, also quickens your mortal bodies. What we would long for you so much this morning is that for each one of us, that we would know the fullness of that type of relationship with God. The power of Christ within us. Think about it. There's nothing that restrains us. There's nothing that can restrain you from God's power working within you if there's faith and trust, obedience to His Word. Those are the ingredients. By putting your trust in Him, by building that intimate relationship, by knowing the fullness of His power and His glory within your own heart and life, there's incredible things that God will do with God's people. What we need most of all is to build faith in our lives, in our hearts. We need to keep walking, keep marching to that that God has set before us. And always the question needs to be, God, how can I be faithful to You? How can I serve You? How can I be obedient? What does Your Word say? Be quick to obey Him. Be quick to obey. And learn the fullness of the glory that He has for us in Christ Jesus. David is about to discover a whole new thing. And here this young shepherd boy comes walking in this room, and God had a plan. And what was happening out there in the sheep field is that he was learning of God's greatness. He was getting to know God. And because of those things, David was selected for God's service, and he was entrusted with incredible things. For with God, he is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that you ask or think. Would you submit to him today? Would you in your heart yield yourself to him? And sometimes that means that you're going to have to turn loose of certain things in your heart and your life. Sometimes that means that you're going to have to walk away from the things of the world and the other things, other voices that are saying, you need this or you need that. And in submission to him, say, God, I want to be obedient to you. I want to yield my heart and my life to you with all of my strength and know the fullness of what it is that you have planned for me and your purposes. It's an easy thing to do. It's simply a matter of trust. And you got to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Is he trustworthy to you today? Are you willing to rest your soul, your life in his hands, your future in his hands? Are you willing, as David will have to do here, to wait for him, for his timing, not only for his plan, but also for his timing, and in faithfulness, wait upon the Lord? Father in heaven, we thank you for your great mercies. Lord, we would wait and look toward you. Fill us, Lord God, with your Spirit, that we would be mighty in spirit like David, that we would learn the things, the principles that are needful and necessary from your Word, and